KCPR, the 10th year.
A million, million people are happy, bright and gay.
Hi, my name is Marv Miller, and you're listening to the 10th year, a look at the last 10 years of Cal Poly's own broadcast voice, KCPR.
A million, million people are happy, bright and gay. The bells are ringing in the steeple. It's a public holiday.
In the next few weeks, I'll bring back the people and the programs that made KCPR one of the most outstanding college radio stations in California. So sit back and enjoy, as thousands have before you, and help us celebrate our 10th anniversary. And good evening to you. I think you'll really enjoy tonight's show. I recently had an opportunity to talk with Steve Rugnitz, who was a former station manager and one of the original air personalities of KCPR. Steve was on the air when KCPR was just a small room in the Graphic Arts Building and only broadcasting with 10 watts of power, or sometimes 1.8 watts. Steve reflected back on the early days of the then Fun 91 and how he got started as an aspiring young broadcaster.
It was really remarkable because I walked in one day with a friend. I was living up in the dorms, and they said, "Why don't you come visit the radio station?" And I said, "Oh, all right." This is back in 1970. And I walked in, and after about 15 minutes, they said, "You want to do a shift?" And on our bombastic, I think we were 1.8 watts of power that day because the 10-watt transmitter had broken. And so after 15 minutes, I got on the air and found out the entire knowledge of music I had lasted about 15 minutes. And after that, it was just pull records from the stack and see what happens, of all 25 records we had. And so it was kind of a remarkable beginning.
Hey, is this the one?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah, yeah.
No,
no.
Put the wire over there.
Oh, wait a minute. This
is
wire?
No.
That thing's loose.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it. Here, just go ahead and switch that on there.
Is that?
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, that's it.
Yeah.
We got it. Yeah, all right. This is KCPR, San Luis Obispo, returning to the airwaves for another day of fun and merriment for the residents of San Luis Obispo. In case you're wondering, KCPR is licensed through the Office of the President of the California Polytechnic State University, and if you haven't noticed already, broadcasts on an assigned carrier frequency of 91.3 megahertz, ooh, with the bombastic power of 10 watts, as authorized by the FCC in Washington, D.C. Some of the programs heard on KCPR are delayed by means of electrical transcription or tape recording so that they may be presented at a more convenient time. KCPR is affiliated with the Texaco Metropolitan Opera Network as well. So, without any further ado, let's get on with it.
From there, it was just a long, slow struggle of growth and trying to get higher power from 10 watts, trying to keep the 10-watt one running, trying to get the staff reasonably trained and get away from some of the screaming rock jock that went on in early days. It was very early in KCPR. It was almost a case-like copy. It was just a lot of hype.
That can do with Motown Soul, baby. Gonna blow your gaskets on the Stag Show. Diana Ross and the Supreme. Hey, man, you're digging the Stag Show on KCPR, Cal Poly Radio. San Luis Obispo, gonna blow your mind with Wilson Pickles. Shotgun, just like my wedding, baby.
Junior Walker, the All-Stars, baby. It's 1:33 up in KCPR. Hit you with the heavies, baby. Your platter pushing pop on your Fruity 15. Stock the whack, Jack.
That there was Archie's at Sugar Sugar, and I won't say that there record sticks to my teeth like ugly on an ape. And right now, we're going to have a little Johnny Cash with Picking Time. Timmy and the boys are going to munchy, munchy, munchy on your tummy, tummy, tummy on 90-91-y.
Tum, tum, tummy.
Tum, tum, tummy.
Oh, Chief, Leon Warwick wants to tell us about who gets the guy. I hope it's me.
Next record is the Topsies in Tijuana. They can't hit with the Wooly Bully.
Uno, dos, one, two, tres, cuatro.
It was very unstructured for some times, and yet under some managers and program directors, it was with a regular day and night record rotations and pie charts and a lot of very strict formatting, but all just a commercial copy.
Entertaining Central California from San Luis Obispo.
More music on KCPR San Luis Obispo. Another hit sound replay
on KCPR San Luis Obispo.
This is KCPR San Luis Obispo
with another hit sound replay.
Super hit three, hit three, hit three. Super hit two, hit two, hit two. Super hit one, hit one, hit one.
Wasn't until, oh, probably 72, 73 that we started reorienting, because in order to go higher power, we realized that we'd have to, well, in essence, clean up our act and get our programming to serve some definite community needs, and we were trying to develop a higher degree of professionalism as a public radio station. And after much effort and a lot of work by a lot of people, and I know Ron Margaretten was the program director when I was manager, and he... and some people just before him made some great strides in changing the programming around to be what we believe to be a much better station and much more responsive to the community. Ron worked very hard and was the programming director when we were applying for the 2,000-watt power increase from 10 watts, and Dr. Kennedy and the university had approved it, and the FCC bought off on it, so to speak, and we finally were able to go 2,000 watts in 1974.
Wednesday, May 29th, 11 a.m., KCPR Public Radio goes 2,000 watts.
That means we're here to serve you better.
We want you for the following 5 days to tell us what you want to hear.
Until 12 midnight, June 2nd, KCPR plays all your requests from all over the Central California coast.
Start calling KCPR at 11 a.m., Wednesday, May 29th at 544-4640.
KCPR Public Radio, what you want to hear.
Hey, I'm Bruce Queen, and I play nose guard for the Cuyama Condors. I love KCPR. I love KCPR because it's going to be 2,000 watts next Wednesday, and I'll be able to get it on the field. The music makes me want to kill. The coach likes for me to want to kill. If I don't do what the coach likes me to do, then he doesn't let me have any Gatorade with my meat at dinner. Y'all better listen to 2,000 watt KCPR. You hear? Coach, did I do a good thing?
So with the help of a lot of people, some people in town, the phone company supplied us the telephone pole to put the antenna on for no charge. It was just a group effort on behalf of a whole lot of folks that went ahead to get the station to the 2,000-watt level.
Some of the most important portions of the KCPR broadcast day are the various editions of 91 Newswatch. KCPR News has always been the result of a major effort by the staff to keep its listeners informed. I asked Steve what news programs were like in the early days of KCPR.
News has always been a major portion of the station. It depended a little bit on the news director and how many people we had it, what the format was of the news. It changed, whether it was the nightly news or the KCPR news team, or, you know, we shifted titles fairly frequently in the early days. Some quarters we'd have a group newscast in the evenings where you'd have four or five reporters on the air giving various sections of the stories. But news has always been an integral part of KCPR. Sometimes it was humorous. Sometimes we did news spoofs. In the early days of KCPR, we had anti-commercial commercials, so to speak, that were, when we were low power, and we could frankly get away with some things that you wouldn't want to try now.
Good evening. This is F. Faster Fletcher, and the lighter side of the news. Brought to you on KCPR, San Luis Obispo. Last night, three men were severely injured in this city as they were caught in the 7 p.m. ceremony of rolling up the sidewalks. The three men, who included Herlich Gringfeld of Arroyo Grande, Arnie Appavester, and Grizzly Grumford, both of Grover City, were walking at the corner of California and Santa Rosa streets. Sidewalk Superintendent Herman Glick said he started the machinery as usual and noticed a strange sound coming from the roll. As he reiterated, it sounded somewhat like a pinball machine. Well, it seems that Mr. Appavester had his pocket full of marbles, and as the marbles were crushed in the roller, they made a noise similar to that of a pinball machine. Mr. Gringfeld, however, had something worse.
I can't do that on the news, for Christ's sake!
Good evening, this is Nathaniel Swish with a special report. About a week ago, notices suddenly appeared on campus and in several student housing areas that let the world know that the GLIF, that's Gay Liberation Front, was indeed alive and well in San Luis Obispo.
Listen, my friends, a tale of mystery called Watergate. A tale so scary, hardly anyone knows, except Rosemary, how deep it goes. Rosemary, oh Rosemary, help us solve this mystery. Rosemary, Rosemary, you found your place in history? For 18 minutes, you sat there alone, with your foot on the pedal and your hand on the phone. Then something happened, and it was mighty, mighty weird. All the words on your tape just disappeared.
Hello, this is your president. Will you identify yourself?
Hello! How are you, Mr. President? This is the...
If you could only imagine the influence...
Special make, I'm really an actor.
Do you mean to tell me, Mr. All those battles?
Oh, Rosemary! Rosemary! Heavenly knows, those 18 minutes were found missing till someone had a darn good listening. Till wonders never cease and checkers rest in peace.
Once in a while, we have a birthday celebration. Several people on our staff tonight, well, two as a matter of fact, are having their birthday. Missy Pierce and Crazy Uncle Al.
Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday to you! Happy birthday, dear Miss Sal. Happy birthday to you.
Hey! We interrupt this program to bring you a progress report on Skylab 1. Skylab 1, Man in Orbit, brought to you by Tang Oral Corporation in Gulf Breakfast Drink. And now, here's Frank Thomas.
Thank you. It's been somewhat of a disappointing day as far as Skylab is concerned. The launch has been held at T-minus 13 seconds for the last 6 hours, and we're going to switch to our science editor, Jules Hackman, for an explanation of the holdup. Jules?
What it amounts to is the linear facing in the fuel consumption in the ATC valve is out of step with the PDB engine sequence, thereby requiring a Videocon manual override in the firing apparatus guess, therein and thereof.
Well, Jules, could you put that in layman's terms for our audience?
Yes, Frank. Some jerk forgot to connect the ground wire and the battery went dead. So we got some guy from Herb's Lube and Transmission Service to put a battery on recharge.
Thank you, Jules. We must realize that these minor things are bound to happen in a project of this immense size. Not even the onboard computer could catch that minor flaw.
Well, Frank, as I understand it, the onboard computer was connected to that dead battery.
Well, that certainly explains it. We're going to go now to our correspondent, Poot Waddle, who is on the launch pad. Poot?
Thank you. Am I on? I'm standing directly under the Saturn V booster, and I think I can see the battery that was causing all the trouble. The launch pad around here is vacant, and most of the workers have left. As I look around here, it seems to be that I'm the only one out here.
Poot, let me interrupt. Mission Control has just announced that the countdown has resumed at T-minus 15 seconds and counting.
I'm surprised at the immense size of this human edifice. What do you mean the count has been resumed? Can you confirm that, Frank? It doesn't seem possible that I would be left down here without a fire pump.
2-1-0. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
This is Frank Thomas and Jules Hackman downrange in the press box. It is a beautiful liftoff. The rocket is rising gracefully towards the blue Florida skies. The reflection of the sun is beating off of the capsule. It's tilting ever so slightly towards the northeast. I'd say it was tilting, about 30 degrees, 35 degrees, maybe 40 degrees. Jules, is that a normal trajectory?
No, it certainly looks rather odd from here, but the heat inversion does cause optical illusions, Frank. But in my 20 years here at Mission Control, I've never seen a launch trajectory that what is now about 80 or 90 degrees parallel to the parking lot. It appears that one side of the rocket is firing, causing Saturn V to circle right towards the press box.
Yes, and I can almost make out the inscription on the top of the capsule. I'd say it was only about 500 yards from here, maybe 400, 300 yards. This can't be the trajectory.
This is no optical illusion. Let's get the hell out of here.
Jovanovich in the helicopter hovering over the launch area. From my vantage point, the Saturn V has exploded into a giant mushroom cloud. Flames and shrapnel are flying everywhere, filling the sky. Part of the third stage booster is coming right towards where we're flying, and oh my God, I...
This is Wally Edwards out here in the telemobile. I'm out here about 1,000 yards from my crash site. The flames from the six million barrels of highly volatile fuel are leaping everywhere. Giant columns of smoke rising. The flames are rushing across the vacant field, rapidly approaching where I'm sitting right here. This reporter's opinion, the flames are about 200 feet high, about 40 yards from the truck. We're going to move to higher ground now. I'll be giving commentary till we get the truck started. There seems to be something wrong with the battery. The flames are about 30 feet from the truck, and the heat is intense. And what do you mean the truck battery's dead? I mean, the battery's missing. Some idiot stole my battery, and we can't get the truck started. The paint is starting to blister on the control panel. I can...
We have encountered minor difficulty in transmission. We now return you to the regularly scheduled program.
We did some takeoffs on, you know, super snail gasoline with the added ingredient sugar, fail-safe stores where you save at least a penny, and there were a number of things that went into the early station that the staff just was having a good time with. A lot of that slowed down to some degree when we were trying to develop a higher level of professionalism, but the news has always been straight. The staff members, a lot of them from the journalism department, worked very hard at developing news skills as good broadcast journalists, and a lot of time that's not very easy, but they'd go out and hustle for the stories just like, you know, any other reporter would, and prepare them for the air and present them, and the news would go on.
If you've been listening to KCPR this last year, you may have noticed a change in format. Or is it really a change? Are we really different than 1968?
Well, from what I've heard, Casey, you're not going to like this answer. KCPR has actually almost gone semi-full circle in some of its programming that I've heard in the last couple of days. It's gone, from the announcers I've heard, not so much top 40 necessarily, but back to a more structured format in a lighter top 40 vein. We used to jokingly refer to it as bubblegum rock. We had gotten away, we started that way in 1968, 1970. We got away from, we never got away from playing popular music. We always did. But we tried to cater to a variety of tastes. Our morning music would be lighter, more up-tempo. Midday, before a Pacific concert, would just kind of slow the tempo down a bit while we were flowing into the Pacific concert. Come out of Pacific concert, we went into the news public affairs block. And then in the evening, the music would start to get heavier. And by midnight, when we were doing the Midnight Six show, we used to refer it as Lost Out Rock and Roll. So in that respect, KCPR is still doing some of the early days programming that, as what I've seen now, with the rock. They're doing it very well. I mean, what I've heard, the announcers have been very proficient and do what they do well. For a period in there, we had loosened up on formatting. We'd gotten rid of the so-called pie charts and record rotations. We were formatted, and the announcers definitely had to maintain certain formats, but it was not quite as structured as it appears to be right now.
That was Steve Rugnitz, former general manager and KCPR staff member extraordinaire. That's all for this week. My name is Marv Miller, and I'll be back next Friday, same time, same station, with more of KCPR, the 10th year. Thank you for listening.